Blog Talk Radio.
What a moment. What a moment. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. What a moment. You have brought me through such a freedom I have found in you. You're the healer who makes all things new. That's the God we serve. That is our Father. That is the grace that is beyond measure, that is Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me through. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for just being who you are, awesome and mighty God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, family, for joining us this morning. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you today?
Good morning. The Bible says, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. So I praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yes. I believe that is the last words in the book of Psalms 150, if I'm not mistaken, but I'm going to go look it up because I want to make sure. Hallelujah. But I believe that is the last words in Psalm. Yes, it is. Psalms 150, verse number 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Because, Mother, I don't want no rocks crying out for me. I don't want no rocks crying out for me. I can praise God myself. Hallelujah. And I just wanted to say, yesterday I went to revival. As they say, I went to a meeting last night, and I could only say that something got a hold of me because Pastor Hubbard, again, preached a awesome message. And, you know, when you go and you go expecting, you can't do nothing more than say, wow, God, thank you. Thank you for this great lesson. Thank you for this man of God. And I realized I used a different notebook. But, you know, he preached again, you know, on how we should live and how we should act and how we should treat each other. You know, God wants us to be the best that we can be. He wants us to be kind. He wants us to be loving. He wants us to be united in love with each other. God is good, and he loves us so much. I can't say enough about the love of God. And in our lesson today, you know, our title is coming out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, about being unequally yoked. The word of God says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know, so many times we get caught up in the outside appearance of a thing that we don't look at the inside. You know we good things, ladies. You know I'm a good thing. But we got to be careful. Got to be very careful that the one that comes towards you is not the counterfeiter, the unbeliever in believers' clothing. I remember hearing Yolanda Adams' testimony of how she got her first marriage, how he came to church, you know, even spoke in tongues, and she just thought he was such a man of God. But she found out he was a counterfeit. When she got ready to go to church, he looked at her like, where are you going? She's like, I'm going to church. She's like, oh, no, you're not. And the next thing she knows, she's getting beat up. the wolf in sheep's clothing. So we have to ask God for discernment. We got to ask God to guide us and lead us, that we don't fall for the counterfeit. We don't fall for the okey-doke. Believing women with unbelieving men. Or believing men with unbelieving women. As we went back over the history lesson, you know, as Isaiah was giving them an understanding of what was in the past. And as Paul also, no, actually Isaiah was coming in the future, Paul what was in the past, and talked about Phineas nipping it in the bud because they was about to die in that wilderness because they went after pagan women who was leading them astray. And so we have to be very, very careful that you don't yoke yourself on believers, because it will not go well with you. You will wonder why things are not going the way they should. And, you know, you're like, and you look at, why you on your knees? Why you praying? You know he ain't going to do nothing for you. Those are the kind of things that are said. I'm grateful I had a believing husband. I'm grateful I had a man of God that didn't mind getting on his knees and praying every night before we went to work. I was calling and praying before we went to sleep when he was away on assignment with the military. We prayed together even until the day before he died. We prayed together. And that's why we were together for 32 years with no infidelity. Come on now. Praise God. We got to make sure, whatever you do, ladies, whatever you do, young men out there, men, older men, older ladies are like husbands too. And so we just want to make sure, ask God, Lord, let him be the one, or let her be the one that you choose for me, a believing man or a believing woman. And make sure that you don't go to an okey-doke church either, where, again, a wolf in sheep's clothing, because they're out there. Last night, the pastor spoke that 2,700 churches closed, yet 3,000 opened up. But as he said, it's about Jesus, not about filling a pew. First, you got to let them know who Jesus is. These seconds or less, you should be able to tell somebody why you are a Christian. Why you are a Christian. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he saved my soul. I know that I was a wretch and he saved me, that he brought me back from darkness, that when I fell into depression, he was the one that brought me into his marvelous light. I am grateful. I'm thankful. I'm blessed that I was baptized in the water. Even though I was 53 years old, I went into the water before I accepted the calling that God had called me on, because he has known me since I was a child, but I didn't understand. I had to get into the word of God, and I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed that he saved my soul. Why do I love Jesus? Because he first loved me. Amen. Mother Valley prayers in. And then we are going into Isaiah chapter 19 through 20. I will be reading, and the 106th Psalm, verses 40 through 48. And then I will be turning it over to this awesome woman of God, and who will be reading Proverbs 25, verse 13, and 2 Corinthians chapter 6, which is where our title is coming from this morning. Mother Valerie, pray us in.
Father God, in Jesus' name, everything we do is in Jesus' name. We want to thank and praise you for another day to get it right. We ask you to bless Pastor Bridget, Pastor Jesse, Minister Michelle and Freddie, as they have already traveled, I think, and Carolyn. But I know she made it safely. And God, we just thank you for another day. It's a bright, beautiful, sunshiny day. It's a glorious day. Each day that you give us is glorious because you woke us up. And God, we just praise your holy name, for you are Abba, your Father, your God, and you watch us over all of your children. You watch over the believers and the unbelievers, and we thank and praise you for that, because someone might hear your word and get saved. That's what it's all about. In Jesus' name, we thank you for health and strength, and God bless the talk show today, that we say something, somebody hears something, and want to know more about you. I mean, this is what it's all about. Truly, this is what it's all about. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning again, everybody. Praise the Lord. Let's get started in the Word, because this is Bible study. Hallelujah. And the Word of God, and I'm sorry, God, thank you for stopping me. Father God, we also ask traveling grace and mercy for Evangelist Shannon and her granddaughter as they travel the train tracks, as they travel the highways, byways, and trainways, coming on their destination and assignment to utilize her great-grandson. We ask your Lord, your grace and your mercy over the Haley and Shannon family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God stopped me there before I could go any further, because Minister Evangelist Shannon is traveling today to come to be with her grandchild as she goes through this difficult time. And it says this,
amen,
in chapter 19, the burden against Egypt. Behold, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and will come into Egypt. The idols of Egypt will battle at his presence, and the heart of Egypt will melt in his midst. You know, every time I think about this, the song is, these are the days of Elijah. And it says, you know, behold, he comes riding on the cloud. You know, and I thought, well, it's the Lord that's riding on the cloud, if you want to get it technical. But I still love the song. I just thought I'd throw that out there. When I read that, behold, the Lord rides on the swift cloud and will come into Egypt. The idols of Egypt will totter at his presence, and the heart of Egypt will melt in its midst. I will set Egyptians against Egyptians. Everyone will fight against his brother, and everyone against his neighbor, city against city, kingdom against kingdom. The spirit of Egypt will fail in its midst. I will destroy their counsel, and they will consult the idols and the charmers, the mediums and the sorcerers, and the Egyptians I will give into the hands of a cruel master. And a fierce king will rule over them, says the Lord of hosts. The waters will fail from the sea, and the river will be wasted and dried up. The rivers will turn back. The brooks of defense will be emptied and dried up. The reeds and rushes will wither. The papyrus reeds by the river, by the mouth of the river, and everything sown by the river will wither, be driven away, and be no more. The fishermen also will mourn. All those will lament who cast it into the river. And they will languish who spread nets on the waters. Moreover, those who work in fine flax and those who weave fine fabric will be ashamed. And its foundations will be broken. All who make wages will be troubled of soul. Surely the princes of Zion are fools. Pharaoh, wise counselors, give foolish counsel. How do you say to Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings? Where are they? Where are your wise men? Let them tell you now, and let them know what the Lord of hosts has proposed against Egypt. The princes of Zion have become fools. The princes of Noah are deceived. They have also deluded Egypt. Those who are the mainstay of its tribes. The Lord has mingled a perverse spirit in her midst, and they have caused Egypt to err in all her works. As a drunken man staggers in his vomit, neither would there be any work for Egypt, which the head or tail, palm branch, or bulrush may do. Whew. You would think that he was talking to some folks right now in many countries. And I am so sorry, God. But we need to please pray for Libya. I was a headline came over mock feed this morning that said over 5,100 people have died in Libya due to a dam breaking. And the relief workers are just walking through and finding dead bodies everywhere of men, women, children, animals that have drowned in the breaking of this dam. So please keep the people of Libya in your prayers as well. God is trying to tell us something. Natural disasters are happening everywhere. Right now, even here in the U.S., the people on the East Coast are now having to bunk down because Hurricane Lee is going toward New England. We've already had one down in Florida. Now we have one that's going up the coast to New England. So pray and pray some more that we will get it right, that we would get it right with our Lord, because he is coming back. And we need to be ready, because these disasters are happening more and more frequently. We need to take care of God's earth. He didn't have to give it to us, but he did. Hallelujah. It says, and in that day, Egypt will be like women and will be afraid and fear because of the waving of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he waves over it, and the land of Judah will be a terror to Egypt. Everyone who makes mention of it will be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he has determined against it. In that day, five cities in the land of Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear by the Lord of hosts. One will be called the city of destruction. In that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord at its border. And it will be for a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. But they will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors, and he will send them a Savior and a mighty one, and he will deliver them. When the Lord will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day, and will make sacrifices and offerings. Yes, they will make a vow to the Lord and perform it. And the Lord will strike Egypt. He will strike and heal it. They will return to the Lord, and he will be entreated by them and heal them. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrians will come into Egypt, and the Egyptians into Assyria, and the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be one of three with a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. And as we go back to chapter 19, a couple of life lessons. Isaiah 19 and 20, he will send them a Savior and a mighty one, and he will deliver them. We expect the Bible to tell us of a Savior coming to deliver Israel, but this text speaks of a Savior coming to rescue Egypt, Israel's longtime nemesis. Our God is a global God, and he wants to bless all people. Come on now, can I say it again? Our God is a global God, and he wants to bless all people. We got to get it out of our head that we the only Christian nation in the world. We are not the only Christians. We are Christians everywhere. Christians in Muslim countries. Christians in China. Christians in the Middle East. Christians in Russia. Christians in Ukraine. There are Christians all over this world. And all are on their knees, and we have to join. If we all join in prayer, imagine what this planet will be like. Imagine what can happen to government if Christians pray earnest prayers of reconciliation, not he said, she said, boo-boo said, not I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Green Party, I'm a this party, I'm a that party, I'm from the EU, I'm from this, I'm from that. No. God wants us to be united. United in love. Because he is love. But understand, Jesus is coming back. Coming back to call the wheat from the tares. What do you want to be, a wheat? Or do you want to be wheat? As the word says, blessed is Egypt, my people in Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. In the Exodus, God severely judged Egypt. He destroyed Assyria after the deportation of the northern kingdom. And many times he judged rebellious Israel. Yet God loves to show mercy, not exercise judgment. He is merciful. He is kind. He is loving. But he does not play. He is a disciplinarian. He is a father that will not spare the rod and spoil the child. We better understand. Sometimes we're going through because we're getting a good whooping from our daddy because we've been doing wrong and he wants to get us back on track. Hallelujah. Thank God for his discipline. Thank God for when you go through because he's going to bring you out better than you were. Hallelujah. I'm believing God for better. Better days are coming. I believe in that. And as the word of God says in chapter 20 of the book of Isaiah, in the year of the Tartan came to Ashdod when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him, and he fought against Ashdod and took it. At the same time, the Lord spoke by Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saying, go and remove the sackcloth from your body and take your sandals off your feet. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. Then the Lord said, just as my servant Isaiah walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and a wonder against Egypt and Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians as prisoners and the Ethiopians as captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. Then they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectations, and Egypt, their glory. And the inhabitants of this territory will say in that day, surely such is our expectation. Wherever we flee for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria, and how shall we escape? Barefoot and naked. Can you imagine in this day and age, God telling a prophet to get naked and walk for 3 years naked and barefoot? Folks would have him locked up before he barely made it out the door of his house, naked and unashamed. Unfortunately, it's not like it was then, because folks would say, he is cray-cray, and why is this crazy man running around naked, and the police would be right there to arrest or kill him. And we're just going to call it like it is. Because they'll say, he cray-cray. In Isaiah 20, remove the sackcloth from your body and take your sandals off your feet. God will take extraordinary measures to get our attention when we have walked away from him and stand in danger of severe discipline. Is he trying to get your attention right now? Woo! That's a question we all got to look around and ask ourselves. Is God trying to get my attention? And I can say, absolutely, God is trying to get my attention. And I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? When God wants me to get up, my hands tingle. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm getting up. I don't even play. I just move because it's painful. It's like nerves. Your nerves are just going every which way. And it's always my right hand that I will feel that tingle in. And if it's both hands, I know that's an absolute, as they say, 911, get up right now. And so I'm like, yes, Lord. And I'm learning to obey the tingle. Hallelujah. And in our Psalm 106:40-48, it says, therefore, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people. so that he acquired his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the Gentiles. And those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjugation under their hand. Many times he delivered them, but they rebelled in their captivity and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. And for their sake, he remembered his covenant and relented according to the multitude of his mercies. He also made them to be pitied for all those who carried them away captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to be triumphant in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. From everlasting to everlasting, let all the people say amen. Mother Valerie opened us up this morning with praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. From everlasting to everlasting, let all the people say amen. Praise the Lord. As I turn it over to Mother Valerie, Mother Valerie, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. You know, I like what she was reading in Isaiah 19 and 20. He will send them a Savior and a mighty one, and he will deliver them. God wanted to rescue Egypt. He wants to bless all people, and he will send Egypt a Savior, a mighty one, and he will deliver them too. Proverbs 25 and 13. Let the cold of snow in time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. For he refreshes the soul of his masters. I'm reading 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 18. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I purge you. In the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God. Much patience, tribulation, in need, in distress, in strife, in imprisonment, in turmoil, in labor, in sweetness, in fasting, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor, dishonor, by evil report, good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known. You know, God wants us. He wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us to be kind. He wants us to be loving. And he wants us to turn the other cheek. Like when somebody do you wrong, don't curse them or do wrong to them. He wants you to be like Jesus. Turn the other cheek. Ask God to actually bless them. And try to mean it from your heart. You know, I know that's hard to do. But you want to bless people that use you. And if you're God-like, you will do it. I've heard Chase say that the things that people are doing to him right now, he said he don't have any ill feeling toward them, that he asked God to help them. And I believe him. I saw him yesterday because he took his mother to St. Louis, and he was just, you know, he had a happy mood, a happy spirit. Even with all the things that he's going through, he still looked happy. I think he chooses. A lot of times when you're going through things, you can make a quality choice. I choose to be happy in spite of the sickness in my body, in spite of not feeling good all the time, in spite of not having everything that I need, in spite of not having all the money I need. I choose to be happy. You can make a quality choice yourself. I know things happen to you, and I know people get depressed, but you can shake that off and choose to be happy and tell the devil, get back. Go back to hell from whence you come. It says, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live as chastened and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, yet sorrowful. Isn't that something? We're sorrowful. He said, yet always rejoicing. You can be sorrowful, and the Bible say rejoicing at the same time. Man, that's amazing. As poor, yet making many rich, you can be poor yourself. I mean, doggone right poor. And when you give other people the gospel of God and tell them about Jesus, making many people rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Because they're talking about in the spirit. They're talking about having nothing, but yet you possess all things. You're poor, yet making many people rich. They're talking about in the gospel. You're telling people about Jesus, and you're making them rich. Oh, Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You're not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's the title for today. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Okay, you know, you want to take Solomon. Solomon had so many wives. And you know what? A lot of the wives, he was unequally yoked with them, because what he did, he made an altar for their gods, and he knew that it was wrong. But just in order to please those other women, the wives that he had, he made altars and for each of his wives. He said, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? I mean, you're trying to do the right thing, you're trying to do good, and somebody else is trying to do bad, and you're both husband and wife. I mean, it's not going to work. Either you're going to go in the direction that he's pulling you, or you're going to have a strong pull on him, and he's going to join the church. He will get, you know, both of you are pulling on each other, unbelievers, with do not be unequally yoked together, because you're going to pull on him, he's going to pull on you, and then which one is the strongest, you're both going to go that particular way. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Light has nothing to do with darkness. When God said, let there be light, it was light. When morning comes, and, you know, sometime I'd be up just to see that, when morning comes, darkness disappear. Light has nothing to do with darkness, because darkness will disappear. And the light of the morning, the light of God's beautiful, beautiful morning, will shine brightly. God is good. And what accord has Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? I mean, you can be talking to a person, and right then and there, they will agree with you. Oh, yes. Oh, you're right. You're so right. Uh-huh. But deep down inside, they still have the same opinion still. I mean, once you leave, they have the same opinion still. They're just agreeing with you to be agreeing with you. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. We are the temple of the living God. And my Lord, you have to be careful how you treat the temple of the living God. For one thing, you have to realize, that you're the temple of the living God. You have to be careful of what you eat and what you drink, what you put on this body. I looked at people. I'm not going to say anything to them. Sometimes look like you want to, but I don't. It was a man at the grocery store, and it was females behind him, and he didn't have a belt on, and you didn't see just the top of his bottom. You saw the man's whole bottom, and then he pulled up his pants. I was so outdone, I started to say something to him, and I was telling Carolyn about it. I said, next time I see that happen, I'm going to say something to the person, even though I know they're going to cuss me out. I mean, I know I shouldn't say anything, but I was so offended. And it was an old person, old man. I said, now he knows better than that. Young people, they know better, but they do it. And Janice said, well, you shouldn't be offended, but I am. But an old man, he didn't show the top of his butt. He showed his naked butt. And then pulling up his pants in the grocery store. You know, that's
it's
nasty.
But then, you know, you have folks that don't wear underwear. And then you have folks that wear dirty underwear and show it. And your mind is saying, am I seeing this young person running around with his pants hanging down in dirty underwear? I was at the Golden Corral out with my family for one of, you know, birthdays or something. And this young man walks past our table, pants hanging down, in dirty underwear. And they were obviously white at one point, but it got mixed up and had pink on them. And I think it had some cartoon character on it. I thought this young man is not only too old to be in underoos, but in dirty underoos at that. I was just undone. And my sons told me, Mom, be quiet. Because they know I wanted to say something. You walking past somebody's table and they eating with your dirty underwear on. It's just, it will make you sick and not want to eat. So I understand you trying to do your grocery shopping and there's this naked bottom in front of you. You know, on the internet, there's a website that says things that people wear or don't at Walmart. And, you know, you can't do anything but say, yeah, that's true. Come in their pajamas, you know, come in looking like a hot mess. And then there's a YouTube or TikTok skit where it's these two women and their husbands meeting up. And one is talking about the other. Look at her coming in here in Walmart in her pajamas. And this one is in like a little short pajama set. And the other one has got on her head bonnet. And the other one's saying, look at her coming in the Walmart in that bonnet. And together, you say, oh, hi, girl. How you doing? Oh, that bonnet is cute. Oh, girl, your outfit is cute, too. I like that still. And then they both kind of look each other up and walk away. And I thought, yeah, that's exactly what happened. Folks talk about you and then get in your face and smile. But you got to be careful what you look like in Walmart because you might be on somebody's video. Mother, I turn it back over to you, but I just had to comment.
The Bible says that we are the temple of the living God.
Right.
And if we are the temple, you have to be careful. And, you know, like Pastor Jesse always tell us, be careful of what we're wearing. And she tells us not to say anything to the ladies that come in there with them short, short dresses, almost showing off their vagina, and they don't say anything to them. She said, because God, when God get a hold of them, you don't have to say anything to them. She said, when they really get saved, they'll stop all that. So when I see people out in the street, showing, they have on shorts, not shorts, they have on a skirt so short that you can almost see their panties. And I don't understand what they're doing because a lot of them be with the man. I mean, if you already got a man, why are you dressing like that?
And even if you don't have a man, you don't need to dress like that. Because I think what they say, you need to leave it to the imagination. You know, that's what the old folks used to say when I was growing up. You don't need to show all your business. You need to leave it to the imagination and leave it. And, you know, you dress appropriately because no man, you know, they say, wants a cow that he's getting the milk for free. But we do need to get back into the word, so I'm going to get out of your time.
Then what Pastor says, she says, and I look at it the way Pastor Jesse, you know, have told us, don't say anything to them. Because once they get saved, God will clean them up. He's the Holy
Absolutely.
Ghost. You know when a person is saved. You know. Because God will clean them up. The Holy Ghost will speak to them. And they're not going to wear their clothes like that, like they're trying, like a tramp. Just like a whore, just
okay.
like a tramp.
Okay,
and God
mother,
will speak to
keep
them.
Keep it real on this show,
God, God will clean them up. And just like, I mean, God will do it. You don't have to. You don't have to say anything. Not one word. God will clean them up. And
Amen. And
it says, I will dwell in them and walk among them. If God is dwelling in you, you know that's not of God. He's going to clean you up. I'll be their God and they should be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separated, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you. You should be my sons and daughters, says Lord Almighty. I'll be a father to you. And when God is a father to you, he's teaching you. Take off that short dress. You know, a lot of times, right when you get saved, you might not have clothes that sanctified people wear. But eventually, God will give you the clothes to wear, and he'll get you out of that short stuff, because the dresses that you wear, you can take the hem out of the dress. I mean, there's a way to do it. And like Pastor Justice said, God will teach you himself. He said, I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. I'll be their God. I will dwell in them, and I'll walk among them. And I'll be in them. If God's in you, there's no way you're going to wear a short dress up to your panties. And I've seen it done so many different times. And when I do see it, I don't say anything. But I told Carolyn the other day before she left. Now, if I see a man, an old man, dropping his britches like that and pulling up, I'll say something. I'm going to say something. I have made it up in my mind that I'm going to say something, even if he curses me out. And I said, Kathy, even if he shoots me, I'm going to say something. She said, Auntie, don't say shoot. I said, well, he might
no,
not shoot.
No, that's what
I'm
saying. Mama, don't say that. Don't say
that's
the word.
What Carol
don't say that. We're not going to put no curses on ourselves.
Don't you say that. He ain't going to shoot you.
No.
He might smack you.
No.
And
he might tell you, ma'am, I'm sorry, but I don't have a belt and I don't have any underwear. So please forgive me.
Yeah.
There
was a young boy. He had his pants hanging down and his bottom was showing. And I went up to him and I spoke just as nice and kind. I said, young man, why are you showing your behind like that? And he said, ma'am, I don't mean to offend people. He said, but I don't have a belt. He said, I just don't have one. So what I did, I gave him money where he could go buy a belt. And he said, thank you so much. I mean, I went to him, and I went to him in a spirit of niceness. I didn't judge him or anything. I just asked him a question, why you do this? And he said, because I don't have a belt. Yeah, and he said, I ain't got enough money to buy one. So I gave him money to go buy a belt. I mean, you never know what a person's situation is. Like that young man, he's showing his butt, but he said he didn't mean to offend. He said his mother brought him up better than that. And I said, wow.
And a lot of times, and, you know, if you're in a bigger family, those clothes sometimes are hand-me-downs, and maybe your other brother was a little bit bigger than you. You know, we got to look at that, too. You know, our brother was taller than you. So the pants are somebody's outgrown, and so they kind of lead it, pushing them down a little bit. So they go down past their ankles, so they're not in what that we used to call our water. You know, there's always a story to everything. Sometimes you just need to take a minute and talk to people. But right now, you know, we want to get back into this life lesson, because there's a few life lessons, especially for our title word today. That's right.
Life lesson. A warning against compromise. You don't judge people when you see that, because you don't know what their story is. We don't have to judge them. A warning against compromise. God tells us not to be bound to people who don't believe in Jesus Christ. And that's true. Because, like I said before, they're going to either have an influence on you to leave the Lord, or you're going to have an influence on them to believe in the Lord. Just like he told Israel to be separated from the pagan nations around them, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship have righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? We must be careful with how we live, because compromise can be destructive. It can lead us to take a step in the wrong direction, the direction that could eventually lead us to ungodly, harmful actions. This is because compromise is like a flag. We begin with godly convictions and good morals, but the moment we negotiate with the world and validate the ways of evil, our values begin to slip. It leads to a more serious cooperation with sin. That's especially true when we try to launch our conviction concerning the word of God. In fact, we take our first step in the wrong direction when we make judgments. We shouldn't judge people. And that's God's job, and it's not for us to make judgments about what is significant and insignificant in the Word of God. We start sliding by choosing what we want to believe. From there, each compromise weakens our conscience, desensitizes our spirit to God's command. When that happens, we are in more trouble than we are capable of realizing. When living in sin no longer bothers us, we stop listening to the Holy Spirit who alerts us to sin in the first place. Unfortunately, the truth is, when we compromise with evil, we always lose. We will miss the abundant life God has for us. We will fail to recognize God's wonderful purpose for our life, and therefore miss the fulfillment and blessings that are available to us. The more we compromise, the more we suffer the consequences. Are you heading in the right direction? Are you doing as God instructed you to do? Are you waiting for his timing? If not, get off the sure path to destruction. Get right with God. Surrender your life to Christ. Obey God in everything you do, because your body belongs to him. Try to be pleasing to the Lord. Obey God in everything that you do. Let the Holy Ghost lead you. The world can only offer you heartache. That's never worth giving up the wonderful plan God has for you. God has a plan for your life. We don't see the big picture. We don't see everything. A lot of times we're suffering. We're going through this. We're going through that. But God do have a plan. And you think of all the billions of people that are in the world. He said, be fruitful and multiply, and we did multiply. It said the more Egypt hurt Israel, the more they multiplied. So he said, be fruitful and multiply. And there's billions and billions of people. And God has a wonderful plan for each and every one of us. I mean, that's a God. He's a big God, a merciful God, a kind God, a loving Father. And for each one of his own children, he has a plan. Even if you want to become one of his children, he has a plan for your life. And that plan is to be just like Jesus, loving, tolerant, helping people, blessing people, letting people see Christ lived through you. And if Christ is living through you, you're going to have everything that the Holy Ghost is giving to us. And that's love, patience, kindness. And you have to be still and know that God is God. You have to listen to the Holy Ghost, listen to the Spirit. You have to, you know, I'd rather be a Christian striving to go to heaven than be a nun, than be an atheist. I prefer to live this life because I don't have to wake up in the morning with a hangover, wondering, where am I? You know, when I got home, that reminds me, when I got home from California, and I looked around the room, and I said, where am I? I didn't realize that I was home. So maybe I was still in California. And then I kept looking, and I said, oh, yeah, I'm home. A lot of times you wake up, and you really don't know where you are, and God gives you the sense to know. That's a good thing, to wake up and know. I mean, that you're in your right mind. It's beautiful to go on a trip and stay a long time like I did, 3 months. But it's even more wonderful to come home and be with the saints and sleep in your own bed. I said, wow, God is good. A lot of times we go places and we sleep in a hotel, but it's wonderful to sleep in your own bed. I'm reading 2 Corinthians 6 and 1. We plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. We may receive the grace of God in vain in many ways, by failing to draw upon his power, to live in a godly way, by hearing but never accepting the gospel, or by shifting allegiance to another gospel. Oh, my goodness. You know, like Paul was saying, that if somebody brings another gospel to you, other than Jesus Christ, you turn away. I know a lot of times, not a lot of times, but maybe once or twice, I was listening, I let these Jehovah Witnesses come in the house, and I really don't know what they believe. I'm just listening to them. I said, no, I better not even listen to them. So when they knock on the door, I didn't even let them come in. Because we're not supposed to. You know, the Bible tells you to just, you can say hi to them and keep on moving. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. In the day of salvation, I have helped you. It never makes sense to put off a decision to accept God's offer of salvation. How many have waited too long? A lot of times when you wait too long to get saved, then you don't get saved. I mean, you can get saved on your deathbed. I know that. And people have received Jesus on their deathbed. But a lot of times when you're dying, you don't even think to say, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. You don't think like that. I mean, just like the two thieves on the cross, one said, Lord, remember me. And God said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And the other one, he ridiculed the Lord. So a lot of times you don't even think to say, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Save me. And you're dying. So if you're dying and you don't think to say, Lord, save me, well, this day you're going to be in hell. It never makes sense to put off salvation, to accept God's offer of salvation. How many have waited too long? And anyway, why would anyone want to delay the joy that comes through a vital relationship with God? I think atheists and people wait so long because they don't want to live right. They want to live the way they want to live. And God gives you a choice. You can either accept him. He don't force himself on you. He's a gentleman. You can either accept him or you can reject him. He said, choose this day. You and Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And he meant his wife, his children, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It said, choose this day whom you will serve. You don't have to, he don't force himself on you. You don't have to serve God. I mean, that's left up to you. If you want to, you can. And if you don't, you don't. I mean, God is a mighty God. He could force himself on you. He could say everybody's going to be saved. Everybody. But he don't. It said choose. You can choose. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you make that type of a choice, the choice belongs to you. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. That's our title for today. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And that's just like I was talking about old Solomon. Solomon had a lot of wives. And he had a lot of women. You know, those wives were unequally yoked with him because he was a believer. Solomon believed in the Lord. But yet and still, like I said before, he made altars for each one of them wives to serve whatever God that they were serving. And it said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This verse usually gets quoted in reference to choosing a marriage partner. While that's certainly a legitimate application, marriage is not the context here. All of life is the context. All of life. Don't be unequally yoked. It's just like with your friends. You know, you can't choose your family. You're born into a family. You cannot choose the family that you're born into. But yet and still, you can choose your friends. You can make a quality choice to have this one in your life, put that one out of your life, have this one in your life. Because you can be equally unyoked with your friends. You know, they don't believe like you believe. And then you say, well, you know, I'm trying to be an influence on them. I'm trying to bring them to the Lord. Okay, that's fine and dandy. But after a certain length of time and they're not coming to the Lord, you better put them out of your life. Because if you're not leading them to Christ, then they're leading you away from Christ. Don't be unequally yoked with people. And, you know, it's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing to be around people of the same mind. I find that to be beautiful. When you go to church, everybody is praising the Lord. How you doing? We're all praising God. So don't be unequally yoked. It's good to be in the midst, like Pastor Bridget was saying. She was at another church. It's good to go around other people that are praising God. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Amen.
Pastor?
We have to. Yes, I'm here. We have to make sure that what we do it for the goodness of God. We do it for his grace and for his mercy. And when we talk about being unequally yoked, you know, the Lord does not want us, you know, you have folks say, well, I went to the club, but I took Jesus with me, you know, and you know, we can't take, we can take Jesus in the club because we know Jesus hung out with sinners. He hung out with tax collectors. He hung out with cursers. He hung out with those that had demonic spirits. He had a whole lot. But we need to make sure that we follow God. And before we get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And we thank God for her traveling graces that he got her thankfully to her destination. And the word that she brought today is, if God can bring you to it, come on, y'all, say it with me. He will take you through it. He has you.
Amen.
Have a thankful Thursday. Thankful Thursday. Where God takes you, he can bring you to it. Sister Carolyn and Mother Janice, I call her Aunt Jan, we went to a women's conference in St. Louis some years ago, and it was pouring. I mean, it was storming. And only thing that came to my mind was what my husband used to tell me. Don't stop. Slow down. Take your time. But don't stop. Because eventually we will drive out of it. And sure enough, we didn't stop. There was cars pulling over. I just slowed down. We kept going. And sure enough, as we got to the end, the sun came out. We got to the event. Just as beautiful, just as nice. Sun came out and everything was fine. But had we stopped, we would have been late. Had we stopped, we would have stayed in the rain, been going. We were able to come through. So if God can bring you to it, he can take you through it. He has.
Amen.
And say again together, we're going to have a thankful Thursday. Thanking God for all
Amen.
Of you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that you are a child of God, and he loves you more than anything. Mother Valerie, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. I'm going back to sleep, and Pastor Bridget
is going
where
to
you
work.
Going?
To work.
Amen.
To work today.
It's
yep,
a wrap.
I got to go to work, and Mother's retired, so she gets to go back to bed. Thank
Amen.
You all so much
Amen.
For joining us. And understand, we will laugh, we will talk, and we will keep it real. So please do not walk in offense. Walk in love. And thank you so much again for joining us. We have a good time in the Word of God, and we can do nothing more than say thank you, Lord. For as Mother said, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. But what it say, everything that has breath, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. So praise the Lord today, and thank him for another day. And it is a what beautiful day. So family, Mother Valerie and I both say to you, have a blessed day. It is a wrap, Mother.
It's a wrap.
God bless you all.